today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, we have a warning about a scam involving Marriott hotels and the internet. And even Marriott themselves wants you to be aware of this one.
Now, if you're traveling this Thanksgiving and flying out of Sacramento Airport this holiday weekend, we have a refresher course on parking, drop-offs, and pickups, including a couple of insider tips to avoid the crowds. Lori Slothauer joins us at 3:20.
And they are some pretty good tips, I think, as good as you'll ever hear about avoiding the crowd. So hang around for that one. A couple months ago, we told you about a trip Sports Leisure Vacations was making to Kauai and the Big Island of Hawaii. The trip is over, and we have some terrific dining and sightseeing ideas for you at 3:35.
And finally, at 3:45, John Holloway from Holloway Travel Outfitters is here with the second half of his Christmas gift idea list. Now, if you have a traveler on your shopping list this holiday, you'll want to hear John's suggestions.
It's the Sunday before Turkey Day, and we are most pleased you are spending an hour of it with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks. I want a Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone. This is the Travel Guys. It's a beautiful Sunday afternoon. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here on the radio, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us. Mark, how you doing? Welcome back from the islands.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Had a little trouble getting there, a little trouble getting home.
How's that? What?
United Airlines. Excuse me, I have a bad cough there.
Well, you're choking on the words United Airlines.
It's 7 hour. We waited Ooh. 7 hours in San Francisco. We got up and took an early puddle jumper to San Francisco, and then waited 7 hours. Actually, we had a 2 hour layover, so we actually waited 9 hours.
Now that must be kind of tough, because you know you can call or you can look ahead on online or on your phone and find out if a flight's going to be delayed. But when you're like leaving here on a puddle jumper, I guess you have no way of knowing before
you
even leave town.
You know, mechanical thing. You don't want to fly across the ocean in a plane that has some kind of a problem. I mean, you know, it's not United is the first one to do this, but I'm just picking on them because that's the company that we chose to fly with. And actually, they did give us a certificate, good for a discount on a future flight, and they were as hospitable as they could be under the circumstances. But it's a long time. Anyway, enough of that. Let's talk about where have you been this week? What have you been doing?
Well, let's see. This week, we've got my daughter all moved into her new location, and today, what is the term? Licking your wounds? Is that what they say?
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, it was just a regular week at work. I'm got all my plans made for a little mini vacation, which is going to take us through Vegas and into Disneyland. And one of the things I'm going to focus in on the show today is listening to Lori Slothauer later on from the airport talking about negotiating that, because we'll be negotiating it beginning on like December the 4th, a Friday, and right at the beginning of the holiday season. And you know what? I'll report back as to how that went.
That's a good idea. I'm flying out and going. We'll be back on Thanksgiving, so I'll have a next week and a week after. Why we'll compare notes with folks and see how all of that stuff goes. And speaking of forward promoting, as we say in radio, at 3:35, Chris Galloway is going to join us, and we're going to talk a little bit about that trip to Hawaii. Specifically, instead of talking about places that we think you should go to, now we know the places you should go to, and particularly restaurants. We've got some real tips for you if you're going to Hawaii sometime soon.
And if you want to follow along with the show and get some of those tips in writing, go to travelguysradio.com, and that's where you'll find it week in and week out. You got some travel news for us today, Mark?
I do, sir. We've got a shortened version. We got a busy show.
All right, let's get it on. What do you got?
All right, in the travel news today, let's see here. We talked about our friend Christopher Elliott and a couple weeks ago, and we talked about tipping in restaurants and about whether or not tipping was on its way out or not. Joe's Crab Shack now, which is a national chain, has become the first major restaurant chain in the United States to announce that its staff will receive fixed wages of at least $12 an hour, and they are going to eliminate tipping from their restaurants. So
wow.
This is, it's starting to spread a little bit. We'll keep an eye on it.
Do they have a start date as to when that's supposed to happen?
We have
Joe's Crab Shack right here in Old Town.
And we do. And maybe we should get somebody from Joe's Crab Shack on with us to talk about that.
I will look into that.
Okay. Speaking of Chris Elliott, he wrote an editorial this week to Frontier Airlines, says it's time to stop treating your passengers like cattle. He says there was a time when Southwest and JetBlue and Frontier were all in one category, but he said Southwest and JetBlue have moved on to the status of trusted, affordable alternatives. The legacy carriers, Frontier has sunk to the new low that defines the budget airline experience. I can't just emphasize this enough, folks, but if you fly, if you're in airports, you hear this all the time, Spirit, Frontier, beware of these guys that are selling you a seat for next to nothing, because it doesn't work that way. So you ultimately, you're going to end up paying for it in the end.
Yes. Literally. Okay.
One of the guys that I follow, Tom, is a guy named Joe Brancatelli, and Joe has a website. It is a paid website. It's called joesentme.com. Mm-hmm. And it's a membership website. But Joe has some interesting stuff. This week he talked about the fact that American Airlines has decided to somewhat devalue their program. They're going to change it now, their mileage program, their frequent flyer program, to be like Delta and United. I won't go into great details here, but if you are an American flyer, there are big changes coming for you. They are not particularly positive. Also, Delta Airlines seems to be giving a signal. If you're a frequent flyer on Delta and you enjoy that occasional complimentary upgrade to first class, mm-hmm. Delta seems to be sending a signal that may be ending sometime soon, that upgrade to that economy plus seating may be about all that you should be expecting from Delta Airlines. Speaking of Delta real quickly here, Tom, they had a really bad storm in Atlanta Wednesday, and it caused a lot of flights to be diverted, including several of them to Columbia, South Carolina, which is not too terribly far away. And Delta has done this once or twice before, but there are pictures all over the internet of Delta bringing pizza onto the planes in Columbia, South Carolina, while the planes were on the ground and waiting to move on to Atlanta, and realizing that people probably hadn't had anything to eat for a while. So kudos to them for even thinking of that.
That's great. I'm sure everybody was excited about that. That's very cool.
Greyhound. You don't often think of Greyhound as a place to get places anymore, but Greyhound is going to have 500,000 passengers during Thanksgiving week. AAA, talking about people traveling this week, Tom, 46.9 million Americans will travel 50 miles or more from home during the holiday. That is a lot of people that are going to be out there on the road. So as I'm sure you'll hear Lori tell you a little bit later in the program from the airport, give yourself enough time. That's really the best piece of insider, outsider, or upside down wisdom that we can share with you, is give yourself enough time. LAX is creating a private terminal, Tom, for celebrities.
Okay.
Now you might say, well, you know, why should all of us pay for a special place for celebrities?
I'm asking that question then.
They cause a lot of disruption at the airports when they arrive and stuff like that. So here's the idea. LA is building a special facility in an old terminal that's on airport grounds, and they're going to charge celebrity travelers $1,500 to $1,800 a trip.
Wow.
To use it. They see it as a revenue source, so it won't cost us anything. It'll just make it a little hard to catch a glimpse of a Kardashian at the L.A. International Airport.
I see.
In the headlines, listen, I mentioned something here with the Marriott Hotels. Quickly, Thomas, there's a phone scam going around now. If you get a phone call and someone calls and says, listen, you've won a contest, we have an offer for you. It includes a complimentary stay at a Marriott hotel. It is a scam. And Marriott has this is the second time it's come up in the last year. It came up in Canada at the beginning of the year. Marriott says, if you receive a suspicious telephone call, especially for a contest you did not enter, we urge you not to provide any personal information, especially credit card information. Instead, simply end the phone call. This is also this week spread to the internet. So if you get something that says, hey, here's your free stay at Marriott Hotels, you might just treat it with a bit of skepticism, because it may not be true. Of course, Marriott, the big news in the travel industry this week, Marriott buying Starwood Hotels, your buddies, Tom, for $12.2 million to create the biggest hotel company in the world. We'll have some more on that.
Did you say how much?
$12.2 billion, as in billion.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and that's your travel news for today.
Okay, you know, I'm okay with Marriott and Starwood buddying up. They're both good companies, I think.
I think they're the two best.
All right, we are the travel guys, and let's see here. Oh, yeah, Lori Slothauer joins us in just a moment or two as we will make you smarter travelers for the holiday season through our local airport, or for that matter, any airport that you might go to. Thanks for joining us. We are the travel guys. More to come. Tuned in to the Travel Guys, either on purpose or accidentally, but either way, thanks for joining us. I'm Tom. That's Mark giggling in the back. I guess kind of a chuckle is what that was. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Hope you're having a fabulous Sunday. Thanks for joining us. Mark, we got one of our favorite guests to talk about one of our favorite places if you're a traveler on the line with us.
Introduce absolutely. Him. And I guess at this point, she's kind of an honorary travel guy. You know?
Yes, she is.
Because she's been with us for a while. This is her second holiday season. Hi, Lori.
Hello. Hello, Mark.
Let's officially introduce Lori. She is with the Sacramento County. She's the communications and media officer. You've probably seen her on TV and heard her on KFBK on more than one occasion.
But we have Lori with us here because, in case you hadn't noticed, Thanksgiving is coming up next week. And a lot of people are probably already at the airport today. Sunday is a big travel day, and then Wednesday will be. Is Wednesday the biggest travel day of the year, or does that come on the Monday after Thanksgiving?
Both are pretty heavy. Wednesday's the heaviest travel day. Let me back up. It's one of the heaviest travel days. We have other ones, but so much traffic is centered around this week. Wednesday is when we will be the busiest, and we'll see the most demand for parking facilities and to get on airplanes. And let me tell you, I've talked to some of our carriers, and they're looking at 90 to 95% load factors.
I heard something from the United people the other day who said that Sue didn't tell me exactly what stretch she was identifying, but that United had a 96% load factor rate out of Sacramento over a period of time. I don't know what time she was identifying, but I'm guessing several months or a quarter or year to date or something like that. Lori, we don't have forever here, so let's get to what people want to know about, and that is if you're not a regular person who goes out to the airport all the time, you're going to go out, you're going to drop somebody off, you're going to pick somebody up, you're going to leave your car there. Let's pretend that I'm an inexperienced person and I'm headed out to the airport and I'm going to leave my car. What are my options at the airport?
Well, that's a very good question, because this year we expect that not only will the economy lot be closed by Thanksgiving, but we're pretty sure the daily lot's going to be filled to capacity and close by Thanksgiving. That means you need to know your options. The garage is a great place to park. It's the most hassle-free place to park at the airport this time of year. But if you don't want to pay $17 a day, know your options. There's a lot of ways to get to the airport. And this year we have Uber and Lyft and a brand new TNC that we just signed a permit with called Wings. And of course there's other taxi cab services and van and shuttles. There's Super Shuttle.
Now, I like, Lori, when I park at the airport, I like to use I like to save $4 a day and use the paved lot that is behind, that is next to the garage.
Isn't that the daily lot, right?
Yeah, it's the daily lot. And you have to, sometimes, and it's going to be busy over the weekend, and so you're going to walk a longer way. It's probably a better insider tip on non-holiday weekends. But nonetheless, if you're staying for a long time, it is a way to save $4 a day. Of course, your car is exposed to the elements, if you're concerned about that, too. And then, of course, so what you're saying, Lori, is that it's entirely possible, if you're flying on Wednesday, that you could get to the airport and find that your only option is the garage.
That's correct.
But there will always be some parking available. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. There's plenty of parking at the airport. It's just that if you're traveling on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, it may not be at the price point you want. I mean, it's covered. The covered parking at the garage is a good value, and I go back to, it's so hassle-free this time of year. But yeah, it is possible that you could get to the airport this week. We don't think the daily lot will fill and close until Wednesday, and I do have to agree with you. I think it's the best value in parking at the airport, but this is a year where it might be filled to capacity.
Well, but you guys will have signage, right? That will, if you're entering the airport property, it will tell you which lots are open and closed. Lori, if you're now, let's pretend for a minute. Now I'm not leaving my car. I'm dropping someone off at the airport, mm-hmm. and there are two terminals, and of course there's stuff like that. And before we started the interview, you had a little tip that we had shared with people a couple of weeks ago about dropping off and picking up there at the airport. Share that with us.
Well, it's really for savvy travelers, but you can avoid the backup on the first level ground transportation curb, and the signage directs you. It says it's for baggage claim and arrivals. Most people drop off at that. But if you take the second level, which is I forget what the signs say. Is it check-in or ticket counters? Mm-hmm. If you go to the second level, there's a lot fewer cars there. So if you have a savvy person you're picking up and you know the airport, it's a way to avoid a lot of traffic.
Yeah, so it basically drop off at the pickup and pick up at the drop-off.
Yes, exactly.
At least for terminal B.
B is a dual level. With terminal A, you're back to a good rule of thumb for everybody is go to the free waiting area. Some people call it the cell phone lot. That's if you're picking somebody up. Wait until they call you and say, "I've got my bags. I'm at the curb." If you're at terminal B, ask them what door they're next to.
This is really important. If you're going out to the airport to pick someone up, please do everyone a favor, including yourself, and don't pull up in front of the terminal until you know that the person you're picking up is ready to go, because that's what the holding lot is for, and all you're going to do is cause a lot of extra traffic and get in the way, and now you're circling the airport, and that's not environmentally, it's not a sound idea, it's just not a good, if you're going to the airport to pick someone, please use that holding lot, and use the cell phone process, and then you can be up at the terminal in 2 or 3 minutes to pick them up.
And may I suggest that you check ahead to make sure that whoever you're picking up, or for that matter, when you're leaving, you know, there's a lot of delays and planes are not always coming in, sometimes within 30, 40 minutes or even more, either late. So plan ahead so that you're not hanging out there way, way longer than you need to.
That's a good point, Tom.
Lori,
even when there are no delays, on average, it takes a passenger about 20 minutes to get off the plane and go down to baggage claim.
Yep, absolutely.
So even
absolutely.
If the plane
now, Lori,
is absolutely on time.
Lori, if you're leaving the airport now, I've parked my car at the airport, and I've now come back from my trip, and I've got this parking ticket, and I've seen the signs that say, you know, there are places to pay. Explain to our listeners, if you would, in 30 seconds, how to get out of the airport, what the options are from a parking standpoint.
Well, first of all, most of the lots are automated, so for heaven's sakes, use your credit card, because cash is going to put you in the line for a long, long way. The other thing you can do is to prepay your fee before you even get to the lot, and there are prepayment machines, some people call them pay-on-foot machines, on the first, the third, and the fifth floor of the parking garage. They're also in the hourly B lot. That's for your meters and greeters. You pick somebody up, you wanted to park, and now you're on your way out. There's a prepayment machine there. There's one in the economy lot, but that's most people who are going to be using the garage in the daily lot, would prefer that they, or think that it would be easier for them if they would use the prepayment machines.
And then you wouldn't have to get in that long line that backs up sometimes into the garage to be able to get out.
Yeah, and you have about a 30-minute grace period. So when you get out, look at the lights at the exit lanes. You can go on the ones that say prepayment or pay on foot. I forget. I think it says prepayment, but I haven't been out to the lots in a while. Look at the signs. There will be one lane that says all payments, and that's also where you're going to find the people who are going to be paying in cash. Don't go to that lane. Go to the pay on foot or prepayment.
Now,
lane.
Is it true, Lori, that the slot that dispenses your ticket is also the slot that you can slide your credit card in?
Ah, yes.
And Lori, that was the catch. When I got to the machine, it's like I figured out where to put the ticket in, but then the credit card goes in the same slot. Remember this, folks who are listening. When you get to the airport and you're standing in front of that machine and you can't figure it out, the ticket goes in the same, goes in a slot, and the credit card goes in the same slot.
Yeah, we put labels on the slots now. Hopefully, that'll be less of an issue. We don't have labels on the ticket spitters as you come into the lots. And I will tell you another tip for savvy travelers. You put your credit card in. You do not push that button. You do not pull a ticket. The gate arm goes up. Now when you get back to your car, you don't need to prepay. You just need to get in your car, use the exact same credit card that you used to enter the lot, and again, use one of the credit card or pay on foot lanes. All you have to do is put your card in there. You don't need to even hold on to that little ticket.
That's what I was trying to say.
Okay, so that's I'm going to try this. I'm leaving on Sunday, Lori, with the group, and we're going back to New York City. So, and I'll be flying back in on Thanksgiving Day. So I'm going to try the credit card thing. And you just have to remember to use the same credit card, and then it will know who you are.
And then the other thing, this I'm on autopilot at most garages I get to. I will confess that. So you put your credit card in, and there's this glowing white button, glowing, and it just compels you. You just, I can't help it. I'm going to push the button and get a ticket. Nah, you can't use your credit card. I mean, you can, but you can't do the credit card in, credit card out without having to pay in advance. And, yeah,
okay.
Credit card
in. So you've got to do that from the very beginning.
Very beginning, do not touch that dial. Do not push that button.
Hey, do not
pull a ticket.
There you go. Do you think we have a minute, real quick, Lori, to talk about the new food venues in Terminal B?
Yeah, it's actually Terminal A where the new food venues are.
I'm sorry, Terminal A.
Terminal B is,
is the new
we
terminal.
Wanted to give people that same only in taste of Sacramento experience. So we have three local favorites, the Squeeze Inn, Paisano's, and the Iron Horse Tavern. And there's a SSP concession brand called Freshy. They're in Portland International Airport. And as the name implies, they serve organic smoothies, bowls, burritos, and wraps. Big on veggies. Everything's fresh. And they join Vino Volo and Pete's Coffee and Tea in the Terminal A concourse. You know, we're still spiffing up the interior. People who go there will be surprised at how open the aisle is to the Iron Horse Tavern. But once we get through in January, it's going to look like a whole new terminal.
All right. Thank you, Lori. You're going to be back a couple more times here before the holidays are over to talk to us again, will you not?
I will.
Here to make you a smarter traveler, Lori Slothauer, Mark and Tom. We are the Travel Guys. Coming up, food and fun in Hawaii next on the Travel Guys after the news. You're listening to the Travel Guys, Mark, Tom, and also Chris this time around here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And, of course, we mentioned more than once here in the last week or so, Mark, when I was going to be taking some Sports Leisure travelers off to the islands. And I think, Mark, you indicated when we spoke on the phone the other day that this very likely could have been one of your best trips ever. Explain why that might be.
Well, and that's why I invited Chris to spend a few minutes with us today, is just to talk about this amazing adventure we just had in Hawaii. We called it Food and Fun in Hawaii. We visited Kauai and the Big Island, and then Chris had a little side trip where he took some folks also to Oahu to see the new Pearl Harbor and Doris Duke's old mansion and some other places. But really, we concentrated with four nights on Kauai and four nights on the Big Island. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this was because one of the highlights of this trip was all of the food. We ate in some pretty spectacular places. My staff did a great job of research and homework and found us some places that were really Hawaiian. Wouldn't you agree, Chris?
Oh, absolutely. The food was great and the setting was great.
And so I wanted to share those places with you because these are places that you might want to go on your own. Lots of folks go over to the islands on a regular basis. I know that not as many visit Kauai, which in my opinion, it's
my favorite island.
It's the best.
I love it. I love the vibe there.
The people there, don't you think they're a little bit less sophisticated? I mean, this isn't a rag on them.
I don't want to say sophisticated. Let's just say they're not out grabbing that tourism dollar constantly.
Okay. Tom, I guess it's a little more casual environment. It's just a slower pace on Kauai. We found some great places to eat. One of them was a place called the Plantation Gardens, which is down by Poipu Beach. Have you been to Kauai, Tom?
I have, and I'm it's interesting you're bringing up the places to eat and so forth, and I think this is perfect because I know a lot of people that go to the islands, and myself included, and finding really unique and good places to eat is kind of tough, and especially one that are sort of casual. Tell me more.
When you go to Poipu Beach, Plantation Gardens, Chris, tell them about it.
Well, actually, Tom, you said it, casual. This particular restaurant, it's a beautiful setting. It has the reputation of being the event restaurant. That's where the locals go for graduations or grandparents' birthdays, that sort of thing. And they're really trying to shake that a little bit because they really are just an upscale, casual restaurant. Wonderful, wonderful food. Again, a great setting. The service was outstanding. Something really interesting there. They have completely shaken up their restaurant model. Their chef is only 22 years old, so they went through. They noticed some of their menu items were getting up to $45, $50 an entree. They went through and struck the entire menu. Because a chef is under 30, they want every single entree to be under $30. And yet they've managed to do it without cutting corners. They're locally sourcing their products, and they pump out some really good food.
I got to tell you, Tom, this is one of the nicest dining experiences, and we had several. So, I mean, we had like all nines and tens, but the Plantation Gardens on Kauai was really awesome.
Now, when people go to the islands, and you mentioned that the prices at this particular restaurant were scaled down and they were no longer in that $40 to $50 range, based on the different places that you visited, and you can mention them as you get to them, how are the price range? What should people plan to budget for their dining in the islands?
A lot of the restaurants now on the islands are using more locally sourced things. So that, if you're not hauling beef across an ocean or something like that, if you're using a cow from up the road.
Well, and speaking of which, I mean, some of the best beef on the planet comes from the islands.
Exactly. And of course, they have their share. Pork is not an issue there. So there are a lot of pork dishes. And, really, we all agree that adding bacon to anything makes it better. So which happens to come from a pig. While we were on Kauai, we also ate at a place called the Bistro, which was up in a little town, Kailua, named after the volcano, which is on the Big Island.
Right.
Kilauea. Kilauea. Uh-huh. Yeah. Kilauea. Chris is correcting me. The Bistro, and we had an awesome dinner there, and then our group had a great lunch there, and that was a great little spot right by a beautiful lighthouse there on Kauai.
And again, great pork ribs.
Oh man! Oh, the best pork ribs. When we got to the Big Island, we. Of course, we made an excursion to the Hawaiian Vanilla Company. And if you ever go to the Big Island, that's a place that you need to visit. You can make reservations and you can go individually. They do serve lunches there. They have a little tour of the vanilla farm. But Jim Redicop is a personal friend of mine, the man who has the vanilla dream there. And it's really, really quite a great place. We went to a little place called Blue Sky Coffee up in the mountains of Kona. There are some 500 Kona coffee producers up there. And on the side of the volcano, and right. We went and visited one. Chris, we went to a great little local cafe there, too.
You're going to make me pronounce this,
aren't
you?
I'm going to make you pronounce this, yeah.
Haluakoa Cafe. It's nice. Up the slope, just north of Kailua Kona. So it's up nestled in the lush tropical rainforest. You've got all the lava flows down below, but you're up there in the clouds a little bit. It's absolutely great.
And people who are driving around right now and can't write all of this stuff down, know that if you go to TravelGuysRadio.com later, we'll have a spot there that just says Chris and Mark's Hawaii Tour. And if you click on that, we'll give you a list of some of these places that we're talking about.
Tom, you were talking about prices and that sort of thing for restaurants on the islands. Actually, Mark and I, as we were researching this, we had a restaurant that we wanted to use, and I won't name names, but we started looking into the reviews on TripAdvisor, and something didn't sit right. The prices were high, but the people's experiences weren't matching that dollar point. That's when suddenly we realized this restaurant was charging on location, 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 because they are right next to the water. So what we did, we went back, did our homework, again, relying on some TripAdvisor reviews. We found a restaurant that got really good reviews. It happened to be across the street from the water. We ended up using it. They were great to work with. The food was wonderful. And the price was much, much more accessible.
Probably $20 a person less, I would say, on the average. That was the Fish Hopper.
That was the Fish Hopper.
And right across from, just down from the King Kamehameha Hotel, to the courtyard King Kamehameha in Kona, in Kona Kailua. Also, Tom, a couple places that people, we went back to Steelgrass Chocolate and heard the chocolate story on Kauai. That is something that they only offer their tour 3 days a week. It's not inexpensive, but it is really a quality experience, and they're really nice people, and it's really a unique
type of activity, visiting one, at least one of, hell, actually you could make a whole day out of visiting Kona Coffee people on the side of the hill. Our folks went, of course, flight seeing on both islands, and I highly recommend a flight seeing on Kauai and the Big Island because of the volcanoes and because of the coastline on Kauai and the and Waimea Canyon. It really was an outstanding trip. I hate to brag too much, but I just want to say, if you're going to go to Hawaii and you want a really unique experience, Sports Leisure Vacations has some really outstanding trips. Before we go, Chris, anything else that you can think of?
I think we've about covered it. I'm ready to get back.
All right. I have one question for you. For those that may be going over on their own and not going to be, you know, lucky enough to travel with you guys, you mentioned the vanilla place. Where on Kona is that?
On
the Big Island.
That's on the Big Island, and it's up. Oh, gosh. What's the name of that little town?
Is it Waimea?
Well, it's past Waimea.
Past Waimea.
It's about 45 minutes past Waimea. It's between Waimea and Hilo on the north end of the island, and it's called Hawaiian Vanilla Company.
All right.
If you Google it, you can find it.
Yeah, if you Google it, you can find it. And we will have a list on TravelGuysRadio.com of all of these wonderful places. So if you're about to go to the islands, and also if you have some cool place that you ate at in the islands or a favorite place that you like, why, send us a note on TravelGuysRadio.com and we'll mention it on the air.
You're listening to the Travel Guys on KFBK. Thanks, fellas. I know you're probably packing right now to head back over to the islands, but stick around long enough to join us. We're going to be bringing John Holloway from Holloway Travels on. He's got some great Christmas ideas for the traveler on your Christmas list. That's next on The Travel Guys. The Travel Guys here on the radio on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano, and to my extreme left, as always, Mark Hoffman, and actually kind of sort of to my right and straight ahead is John Holloway from Holloway's Travel Outfitters. It's that holiday season and time to be thinking about those special gifts, those stocking stuffers, maybe even some luggage for that traveler on your shopping list.
Well, and last week we had John on and talked about his new store over on Howe Avenue and talked about some of the gift ideas. So this is part two. You know, I just bought some new suitcases recently, Eagle Creek suitcases, which is kind of an upscale brand. But, you know, if you travel a lot, stuff from, you know, Walmart and Target just doesn't work because the $49 and the $98 stuff lasts about $49 or $98 worth. So
I have in my hand, how's this pronounced? Dolphin?
Dolphin.
Dolphin. It looks like a carry-on size.
Yep.
And I would say this bag weighs just a little bit more than my wallet. I mean, this thing is, what is it, John?
No
maybe,
comment.
Maybe 2 pounds?
Yeah, it's three pounds, I have to say.
Three pounds.
Just over three. You can lift it up with a finger.
It is an extremely light.
Wow, it
what
is
What a deal.
Light.
I mean, this would be perfect for the ladies.
Yes, it is. I mean, we let's face it, we have a lot of seniors that have the time and the will and the want to go traveling, but they're tired of lugging big bags. So we like to sell them the light bag. I mean, 3.5 pounds is extremely lightweight.
Good because, yeah. You know, John and Tom, nowadays the old adage, you know, with the flight attendants is you pack it, you rack it.
Yeah.
You know, if you brought it on board, you need to be able to put it up above. So having a lighter suitcase, I don't care how old you are, is definitely a plus.
Now, this is a soft side here, John, and extremely light. How durable is it?
Oh, it's very durable. You know what they've done? They've taken the frames out of the bag and kind of use this graphite material from tennis rackets to give it a skeleton so it'll crush in and yet have a memory to bounce back.
Got it.
How much does something like this cost, John?
This is just over $100, maybe about $120 for this Dolphin bag here. So,
what is the life expectancy?
For Mark, probably about 3 to 5 years, maybe. That's why we sell them the Eagle Creek with the no matter
Tom,
what warranty.
I should tell you that I went by and picked up my luggage that I had dropped off at John's place because we talked about this on the air, how literally the bag was kind of wearing out. The zipper and the casing of the zipper were wearing out, and really the bag had reached its lifetime. They fixed the bag, brand new zipper, casing. It's got another couple hundred thousand miles on it. So really and truly, when you buy these, you know, lifetime bags, something, you know, gets a little out of whack on it, while you just take it down to John and you've got a brand new bag again.
Yeah, we look at it as an investment. You know, unfortunately, some people look at luggage like it's a disposable item. I'll just go buy a new one next trip. Well, if it wears out on you and you're in the middle of walking around Venice trying to find your hotel.
I have had
If you only travel once or twice a year, that's one thing. But if you travel regularly, you're right. There is nothing worse than getting on the road and having a suitcase malfunction.
Now, John, I see you brought something that is, boy, I tell you, stylish, and right in with what's going on here. Got a brand new Star Wars movie coming out, and John has a hard shell that's got, well, he's got Darth Vader's face right on the front of it. Nobody's going to mess with that bag. What do you got there?
Yeah, well, you can find it on the carousel, so that practically speaking, it makes sense. But we're going to have R2-D2, the Stormtrooper theme on luggage, and it gives you, and it's got a nice scratch-resistant surface, which is nice as well. But it's a hard-side bag built by Samsonite, good quality, about $125, again, that price point. And
wow.
Yeah, and it's just a whole lot of fun. Good for
you know,
a kid
Tom, you
or
see-
whoever.
You mentioned kids, John. You know, Tom, when you see now in the airport, it's pretty regularly you see the kids tromping through the airport, and they've got their little carry-on that they're dragging along behind them. I mean, if you're a parent and you, or heck, if you're not a parent, if you're just a Star Wars fan, forget the parent part of this. That is really neat, John. Yeah. I really like that. So what else have you got?
Well, we got some stocking stuffers. Here we are. Christmas is around the corner. And, you know, one of the things that makes it difficult on shoppers is, oh, I got to fill that stocking again. Well, we have at least, you know, I don't know, dozens of things that can be practical for your traveler and that can help them get light and just make them a little smarter. Because if you're hinting around like, gosh, my husband is just doesn't get it. Or and so you tell him, hey, are you buy some of these goods and he'll get lighter, I guarantee you. Such as a Harvey collapsible cane we have. That makes sense for a lot of people.
This cane is, I mean, the handle on it is top-notch. Looks like it's made out of wood. The thing folds down probably
what a cool
hardly,
idea.
Hardly any longer than about a foot long once it's all torn down.
Yeah.
And all pieces of the cane are interconnected with a latch so that they're not, you don't have to, they're scattered all over your luggage or wherever you're going.
No, super easy to use. It just expands naturally. We have a reading light for the reader who doesn't want to keep up their mate at in the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a smart idea.
Uh-huh.
We have a collapsible cup for those who need, you want to drink a more civilized manner out of a cup or whatever they want to put in.
And don't
cup.
Want to use the nasty glasses in the hotel room that you're not really sure when the last time that they were
right.
Clean. John, people are always talking about adapters and things like that. And you know, if you go into a new hotel now, frequently you'll find a power strip or something that allows you to plug in all your gadgets. But if you stay in an older, more contemporary hotel or you're traveling internationally, that can be a problem. You get to the hotel, everybody's had this problem. You get to the hotel room and you've got three things to plug in and you're using the outlet in the bathroom and the one under behind the bed and you're still short one.
How many, John has an adapter. You can see, you go to travelguysradio.com right now. All of the items that we're talking about are pictured there for you to look at. You'll spot the adapter. It's pretty obvious. John, how many countries does that adapter
Throughout the entire world, except for maybe South America and a few obscure ones, or South Africa. But it's called the Travel Smart All-in-One International Adapter. So you can plug four appliances in this device using one USB and a couple outlets. And then it also has the adapter plugs that you throw on this. So we found out, fellas, that people don't need converters to cut voltage in half anymore. All the many appliances do it, all the battery chargers. But then the problem is they're bringing so many chargers for their tablets, their phones, their laptops, and digital cameras. So you can plug them all in here. Everybody stays happy. The entire family can be charging overnight. And that's, you know, this is a conflict resolution device.
You talk about how travel has changed over the years, but this is one thing that really and truly, I mean, I remember in the old days, you always needed a plug somewhere and then we had cell phones and now we've got all this stuff. So plugs are probably the most important. Chargers and plugs are the most important things when it goes on the road.
Absolutely. And so all you got to do is put your plug on there. You don't need a converter. We actually talk people out of buying stuff, the converters. They don't need them very often.
Well, one thing that I always, whenever I travel, that I can never rely on is the alarm clocks that they put in the silly rooms.
Yeah.
And John, what do you have?
Well, and even the cell phones. I know people can use that, but how often somehow the darn alarm didn't go off on your phone. So we have one that'll actually light up. So when you don't know if you're in Brussels or Paris, as the expression goes, we have one that'll light up in the middle of the night. And so you don't have to even reach over to hit the alarm or hit the light. It's going to be lit up right next to you. And believe it or not, that's sort of a very difficult item to find. It's the only one we've ever seen that alarm clock will light up that's battery operated.
You got something called an RFID neck stash.
Yeah, this
I'm concerned about the name. What is that?
Well, we talked about this last week about the RFID, about how important that is and stuff. So
yeah, and it does give you that protection built in, so you don't need to buy any extra sleeves. So if your credit card or passport, they're going to have this RFID chip.
Why is the word neck?
Yeah, it's a really poorly entitled.
Do you hang it around your neck?
No, you know, ladies don't even want to do that. we talk them into this device.
That's your passport protector so that they can't scan the information off of the card.
Yeah, and you can wear it on your waist as well, not around the neck, because nobody wants to wear them there.
So a reminder that a lot of the things that we're talking about here can be found at travelguysradio.com. John, before we let you go here, any last items, and we need to tell folks where the new store is.
Yeah, just go ahead and run through those last ones we haven't talked about.
I mean, we have luggage tags, we have rain gear, we have a full array of luggage, we have vests that are very smart for gift ideas.
Let me see that luggage tag, hand it to me.
Sure, it's big, and it says, my bag.
This is great. This luggage tag is probably almost 4 inches by 3 inches.
It's big.
You get those little tiny ones and you can't hardly even spot it. I guarantee you, if you have the My Bag luggage tag, you will recognize your bag no matter what it looks like.
John, where can folks find all of these wonderful gadgets?
Well, we're at 1508 Howe Avenue. We've moved a couple months ago now. It's already been a couple months. And we're south of Arden Way on the east side of the road across from Harold Ford. And we're also at packinglight.com. So, hey, we will deliver it right to your door.
Well, and you're only a few blocks from Arden Fair Shopping Mall. So I might just suggest to folks that, you know, you're going out to Arden Fair and you think, well, you know, when am I going to get the Traveler? And you see some luggage someplace. Take a picture of the luggage.
Yeah.
Get in your little car. Drive about four blocks over to John's place. First of all, John, don't you have some kind of price matching?
We do. It's on every page of my website. We price match, and it's 110% price guarantee.
So you can buy it from somebody who knows what they're talking about, not somebody who works in gift wrap but has moved over for the day. And you can get it from somebody that knows what they're talking about, and you can get whatever good price you were getting somewhere else. So that sounds like a fairly good deal to me. If I sound a little bit prejudiced here, it's because I have bought all of my travel gear at Holloway's for probably the last 25 years or so.
Yeah.
And I've always gotten great stuff. And any time that I've had a question or any kind of an issue, John, you and your staff are just a phone call away. So it is kind of old school. It's like going to a place and getting waited on and getting good service and getting a good price too. What a deal.
And free gift wrap. So we can gift wrap and we can talk about the luggage.
Yo.
Oh, now we are really talking.
Yeah.
Holloway Travel Outfitters, the new place over on Howe Avenue.
At packinglight.org.
.com.
.com.
Whatever.
.net. Which one?
Either
you have?
One. We have them both. Yeah.
Your .net, your .com.
But
it's Packing Light.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, all right.
All right, Tom.
John
Thanks,
Holloway,
Mark.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And be sure to tell John when you go in that the Travel Guys sent you, okay? That's it for now. We'll be back. We are the Travel Guys.
Some terrific gift ideas there from John Holloway. He's got a beautiful new store over there on Fulton Avenue, on Howe Avenue. Old store was on Fulton Avenue. On Howe Avenue across from Harold Ford. So make sure you go by and see John this holiday season. Good guy. He's been in business a long time. If you're going to buy something from somebody who's really legit and is honest, then John Holloway's Travel Outfitters is a good place to go. Okay, quick plug here for Rob on the Road. Next week, let's see, this Monday night, Rob is going to have Animal Adventures. Take a jungle ride through Safari West. Saddle up for the Wild Horse Sanctuary. Take a walking tour through a colony of northern elephant seals.
Mm-hmm.
And a talk with Betty White during a visit to the Sacramento Zoo. This is a repeat, and this is a really cool episode. That's
awesome.
Monday night, 7:30, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations on KVIE television. Worth watching. The winner for this week for Sports Leisure Vacations, by the way, Tom, we had a $400 winner last week. Congratulations to Brian Toole.
Mm-hmm.
And our $100 winner this week is, we start over at $100. $100 travel card goes to Jess Mills. Jess, call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday and claim your $100 travel card. And I guess, other than happy Thanksgiving to all the people who are listening to us, Thomas, that's all I've got.
Awesome. Yeah, if you're going to be out of town and miss our show, be sure to go to travelguysradio.com when you get home and you can catch the podcast. In the meantime, we will be back for Thanksgiving on Sunday and following your big feast, and enjoy a Sunday with you and bring you more information to make you a smarter traveler. Mark, you have a wonderful week and a safe trip, and stay well.
Thank you, Thomas. See you next week.